On either side of her stood two of her sisters, all of them tall, all of them beautiful, all of them gorgeous and soaked in gore, all of them armed with those wavy bladed short swords. I didn't know any of them, but they stared at me with ravenous energy, with maddeningly seductive destruction spattered all over them, and it took me 2 or 3 seconds to remember what the hell was going on. Lara swayed a step toward me, all the motion in her thighs and hips, her eyes, brilliant and steady, focused on me, and I felt a sudden urge to kneel that vibrated in my brain and elsewhere. I mean, how bad could that be? Just think of the view from down there. And it had been a long time since a woman had... I dimly heard Murphy's gun chattering again and Marcone's, and I shook my head and kept my feet. Then I scowled at Lara and croaked, "We don't have time for this. Do you want out or not?" "Thomas!" Justine cried. She appeared from behind Lara and the Wraith sisters and threw herself bodily upon my brother. Thomas wrapped an arm around her without releasing his grip on his knife and pressed her hard against him. I could see his profile as she held him back, and his face was transported, I suppose. Thomas always had a certain look. Whether he was making a joke, working out, or giving me a hard time about something, the sense of him was always the same, self-contained, confident, pleased with himself, and unimpressed with the world around him. In Justine's arms, he looked like a man in mourning, but he bent his whole body to her, holding her with every fiber and sinew, not merely his arm, and every line of his face became softer, somehow gentler, as though he had been suddenly relieved of an intolerable agony I had never realized he felt, though I noticed that neither he nor Justine touched each other's skin. "Ah," Lara said. Her voice was a quavering, silvery thing, utterly fascinating and completely inhuman. "True love."
"Dresden!"
Marcone shouted. Hendrix spun away from where he had been staring at the Wraith sisters with much the same expression I must have had and stomped past me. I shortly heard him adding the racket of his big gun to that of Marcone's and Murphy's.
"Wraith!"
I shouted.
"I propose an alliance between yours and mine, until we get out of here alive."
Lara stared at me with her empty silver eyes for a second. Then she blinked them once, and they turned, darkening by a few degrees. They went out of focus for a moment, and she tilted her head. Lord Wraith abruptly stepped forward, appearing from behind his daughters.
"Naturally, Dresden," he said in a smooth tone. Unless you knew what you were looking for, you'd never have seen the glassy shine in his eyes or heard the slightly stilted cadence of his words. He put on a good act, but I had to wonder just how much of his mind Lara had left him. "Though I regard myself as bound by honor to see to your protection in the face of this treachery, I can only be humbled by the nobility of you offering me your..."
Yeah, whatever, all right," I snapped, glaring past him at Lara. "Run away now. Speeches later."
Lara nodded and looked quickly around her. Maybe 20 of the Wraith clan had survived the fight. The remaining ghouls had sprung away during our unexpected assault and now prowled in circles around us well out of arm's reach, but close enough to rush back in if they saw a weakness. They were waiting for the others to finish off the last of the Scavis and Malvora. Once they got here, they'd overrun us easily. Near the gate, Marcone soldiers had a steady line of white-robed thralls moving out of the cavern. There were rather more of them still alive than I had supposed there would be, until I saw that the circling ghouls were largely ignoring the passive thralls, focused instead on what they knew to be the real threat, the keepers of the mind-numbed herds.
"Dresden!"
Marcone shouted. His shotgun boomed once more and then clicked empty. I heard him feeding new shells in as Murphy's gun chattered.
"They're coming!"
I grunted acknowledgement and said to Lara,
"Bring the thralls."
"What?"
"Bring the bloody thralls," I snarled, "or you can damn well stay here."
Lara gave me a look that might have made me a little nervous about getting killed if I weren't such a stalwart guy,
But then Lord Wraith snapped to the vamps around him. Bring them! I turned, drawing more hellfire into the staff, and knew that I wasn't going to be able to manage much more in the way of magic. I had just done too much, and I was on my last legs. I had to pull off one more spell if any of us were going to make it out. Murphy's gun kept rattling away, as did Hendrix's, and I could hear gunfire coming from the soldiers around the gate now as well, as the ghouls on the opposite side of the cavern began to turn from the ruined remains of the leaders of House Scavis and Malvora.
Go, I said. Go, go, go!
We headed for my gate. The vampires seized thralls as they went, tossing them into the center of the group, forming a ring around them. Wraith formed the core of the group with his daughters and their swords around him, and the thralls forming a thick human shield around them in turn. Trust Lara to turn what she had seen as a hindrance to her advantage. It was the way her mind worked. We started out at a quick pace, and then an almost human voice cried out. There was a surge of magic that flashed against my wizard senses, and the lights went out. The cavern's lighting had been of excellent quality. It had remained functional all through the duel, despite the magic Ramirez and I had been hurling around, and through the opening of not one, but two gates to the Never Never. That implied that Wraith had invested in lighting with a long track record of high performance and reliability to continue functioning through so much. But there's never been an electrical system a wizard couldn't put down with a little direct effort, and this one was no exception.